Hello, and welcome to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Allison Succomelli. Each week, I'll be taking the science of positive psychology, adding a little humor, and through evidence-based research, provide you with tools and strategies to help you live a life of peace and purpose. In this episode, I will be talking about being liked by others and how it can damage our mental health. But first, if you're interested, social media links, my website, and other information can be found at thelemontreecoaching.com. You can click the link in the podcast bio. And if you'd like some daily inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at thelemontreecoaching. I post quotes and make book recommendations from time to time. Currently in my reading stack this week, I have The Social Animal by Elliot Aronson and The Wise Heart by Jack Kornfield. And just a little side note, when I mention two books each week, I'm not whipping through the titles I list off. They're in a kind of rotation since I'm a savory reader. So sometimes I only read sections at a time, sometimes I read straight through. I wish I had the time and energy to read several books in 1 week, but I don't, and so it goes. Perhaps you do, and that's great. I'm just hoping to spark some interest, share titles I'm interested in, and you can look them up and see if they are for you. So happy book hunting there. And teachers, you may want to check out my TPT shop called The Lemon Tree by AKS. There are some free lessons you can download or explore the shop for more. So check it out. Again, my shop is The Lemon Tree by AKS on teacherspayteachers.com. You can find a direct link in the podcast bio or my podcast website, thelemontreecoaching.com. Okay, with that said, let's get into this week's episode. So we tend to find that some people in therapy are preoccupied with being liked by others, and of course, we are all social animals, even though some of us do not want to care or pretend not to care. But whether we like it or not, being that social animal generates the need for connection with others, and we can, at times, want or think we want to not care about what others think, but that's virtually impossible. Let's also clarify that we want those who matter to us to respect and value us. But if we preoccupy ourselves or are incessantly concerned with worrying about what others think about us, including people who do not actually know us, this can certainly damage our mental health. For example, some may toss and turn all night thinking about how others perceive them. You may have had an embarrassing encounter at work or school and can't stop thinking about it. Maybe you misspoke, whatever the case may be. It is costing you restful sleep, which all of us need and deserve. And truly restful sleep or restorative sleep is a deep sleep without dreams that flushes out toxins in the brain, resulting in a healthier body both inside and out. And according to the Human Performance Resources, signs of good sleep consist of the following. You fall asleep within 30 minutes of going to bed and sleep through the night. If you wake up to use the bathroom or for any other reason, you fall back to sleep within 20 minutes. You also wake up feeling refreshed and energized, and it's normal to feel groggy for up to about 30 minutes after you get out of bed, but other than that, you have enough energy to carry you through the day. You also don't rely heavily on caffeine to stay alert. It's okay to have caffeine in moderation, but when you get quality sleep, you don't feel like your performance depends on several cups of coffee or energy drinks throughout the day. Human Performance Resources also says some signs you're probably not getting enough quality sleep may include the following. You wake up several times during the night. You might also have the feeling your brain didn't fully disconnect and that you continue to process thoughts and feelings from your day. It's almost like shutting down a computer at the end of the day to properly reboot it the next morning. You take more than 30 minutes to fall asleep when you first go to bed and more than 20 minutes to go back to sleep when you wake up in the middle of the night. Other signs that you're probably not getting quality sleep include you wake up gasping for air or sweating heavily. You wake feeling tired and ready to go back to sleep. During the day, you have trouble staying alert, focused, and able to remember things. You may also have a hard time regulating your emotions. You also may rely on high caffeine intake to get through your day. You may have micro sleep episodes or short periods of sleep that last a few seconds during the day. And finally, you may feel more hungry than normal and crave foods high in fat, sugar, and calories. Not to get too far off topic, but some quick and simple things you can do to get some restful or restorative sleep include exercising, which the research shows can help you spend more time in a deep sleep, avoiding alcohol, which reduces sleep by 24%, even in moderation, and affects quality sleep. You limit your caffeine, especially in the evening, and avoid screens as the light tells your brain it's daytime. I developed a terrible habit in the last few years of falling asleep with the television on and then waking up after micro sleep episodes throughout the night. And I've recently switched to listening to podcasts either on Alexa or my phone and fall asleep to that. There are even some podcasts that are specific to sleep that I'm trying out that can easily be found, or even this one. And I tend to think that if something is familiar and it doesn't cause you to overthink, that will help you fall asleep in addition to the absence of light from the TV. Of course, it's important to calm your mind before bed with some mindfulness practices, meditation, or mental games. And mental games are used as a quick strategy by the U.S. Army to take your mind away from counterproductive thoughts that interfere with focusing on the task at hand. They say to be effective, mental games must 1. Engage your full attention, 2. Be challenging and fun, 3. Be done within a few minutes. And here are some examples of mental games used by the U.S. Army. Math games, which include counting back from 1,000 by sevens. I know that one's not for me. Alphabet games, work your way through the alphabet, naming someone for each pair of initials. For example, AB is Alec Baldwin, BC is Bradley Cooper, CD is Cameron Diaz, and so on. And another mental game would be category games, in which you identify a category like sports figures, teachers at your school, colors, and name as many as you can within 2 minutes. Another mental game would be repeating the alphabet backwards. It all kind of reminds me of the States game from the Friends television show that I talk about in episode number 38 of this podcast, the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. And episode number 38, Thanksgiving activities for the classroom and dinner table, and why we react so strongly to celebrity deaths, is by far the most listened to episode to date. So if you missed it, you can check it out. All episodes are available wherever you listen to your podcasts or at thelemontreecoaching.com. But those are some simple mental games used by the U.S. Army, who collaborated with researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, which is where I earned my certification in positive psychology. You can easily find the article, How to Tell If You Get Good Sleep, and a printable of several mental games at hprc-online.org. But doubling back to wanting those who matter to us to respect and value us, if we preoccupy ourselves or are incessantly concerned with worrying about what others think about us, including people who do not know us and damage our mental health, some of us may even be holding on to something we did or said in high school or middle school, even though we are now an adult. And this is costing us our energy and time that we can never get back. And we all know how easy it is to have our self-esteem or well-being damaged by a single piece of criticism, especially when it comes out of left field or the person delivering it claims to be, quote-unquote, just joking. Which, of course, there's truth in joking, and the damage lands the same. We can pretend like we don't care, but as I said before, it's nearly impossible not to care at least a little bit. We may be able to put up a front and pretend at the moment in front of others, but if we give ourselves the time and space to be alone to process things we are going through, that simply is not true. That is when we will feel the honesty of caring, even just a little. However, spending too much time caring what others think can be harmful to your mental health and self-perception. And Psych Central even says, taking others' opinions as truth can lead to a vicious cycle of insecurity and vulnerability. But caring about how our actions impact people around us also plays a crucial role in maintaining meaningful relationships. So again, what I'm hearing the research say or emphasize is the importance of striking a balance between not caring at all and caring far too much. And in looking at the indicators mentioned in the research to determine if you care too much, a lot of them reiterate things that we have talked about here time and time again on the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. For instance, if you care too much about what others think, you don't set or maintain boundaries, your peace of mind relies on external validation or approval from others, you rarely say no, which coincides with healthy boundaries, and you change your opinion if it is criticized, again, that external validation, seeking behavior, or approval from others. You are a perfectionist, which means you pressure yourself to achieve truly unrealistic goals that ultimately result in disappointment. As a perfectionist, you tend to be your harshest critic, which makes it easier to accept criticism from others, whether it be in connection with yourself, your work, or failure to meet your impossible expectations. Being a perfectionist is maladaptive and unhealthy. And quite frankly, if someone told me in an interview that they are a perfectionist, I would not hire them because things tend to not get done. And I see this in the classroom as well. Students not earning grades that they are more than capable of because they are perfectionists and put immense pressure on themselves to turn in their eyes, perfect work, and often they do not feel their work is perfect, so they turn in nothing and get caught in this vicious cycle of perfectionism, missing assignments, and failure. And if you care too much about what others think, you may also allow other people to make decisions for you. It's pretty easy to see how all of these behaviors are linked, but how can you free yourself from being caught up in caring about what others think about you to such an unhealthy degree? We will never be free of all judgment, but we don't have to punish ourselves day in and day out by putting ourselves on Hester's scaffold. We can, however, prepare ourselves for the criticism and judgment that we will get from others. And note that we do some judging too. Pay attention the next time you are out or at work. You will catch yourself doing it if you pay attention, or maybe you already know you do. Oftentimes, the judgments of others about us are incredibly inaccurate. We also have to be careful about accepting things that people say about other people and take that as truth. Be prepared ahead of time for the inaccuracies said about us and learn to let things go in this regard, but I know that can be quite challenging at times. So in this case, we need to be in control of our emotions and not have our emotions change with the breeze. We cannot control what others think and say about us, but we can control how we respond to what is said. We don't have to worry in such an extreme way or experience extreme anxiety. The research recommends mindfulness practices such as meditation, yoga, or breathing exercises. And in the last episode, I talked about box breathing or tactical breathing. You may want to take a listen if you missed it. And all these strategies sound like run-of-the-mill type of things that you always hear in mainstream media, but as we've talked about before, you have to find the balancing or centering thing that works for you and do that. Not what works for your friend, a parent, or coworker. What works for you and where and when it works depends on you and only you. Self-care is not a one-size-fits-all. Okay, so there you have it. In this episode, I talked about being liked by others and how it can damage our mental health. Recommended readings and references related to this episode include Tips to Soothe Your Worries of What Others Think of You by Psych Central, What is the Fight or Flight Response by Kendra Cherry, and How to Tell If You Get Good Sleep and a Printable of Several Mental Games at hprc-online.org. And other important resources include the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Dial or text 988 in the United States or 000, the national emergency telephone number in Australia. And if you are interested and would like to receive daily inspiration via social media, you can join the Lemon Tree Coaching community on Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. I post meaningful quotes from my weekly readings and recommend books from time to time. And some of the quotes are about love and rejection and related to the episodes, but not always. So check it out and see if it's for you. And teachers, you may want to check out my TPT store called The Lemon Tree by AKS. There are some free lessons you can download or explore the shop for more. Again, my shop is The Lemon Tree by AKS on teacherspayteachers.com. You can find a direct link on my website, thelemontreecoaching.com, or Instagram at The Lemon Tree Coaching. And thank you for listening and have a great week. This is Dr. Allison Succomelli saying it's been a pleasure sharing this space with you. And until next time, have fun, be safe.